All right. I know how to start this episode. Similar to, you know, when you lose your virginity, there is no way in hell this is not going to be a disappointing start. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not going to be non-disappointing.
Ellie, kill a bird and get it over with.
Well, that's actually a good point. That is a good point. But I don't know. How do you start an episode from where we were? Like, it was the perfect ending. And now
it's different. But it's so different.
That's true.
It'd be one thing if we're like, and we're back, and what is Henrik doing? Oh, yeah. You know, like, it's gone. Yeah, it's gone. Not the same.
Honestly, this might not even be in the same universe. Like, this might be, like, this is, I'm creating multiverse Vassen. Wow. No, I'm not. We'll see.
The Vassen cinematic universe.
Yeah, right.
Well, welcome back, dear audience, to the first episode of the Honky Tonky Donk from New York City.
Welcome to your first sexual encounter. Get ready to be disappointed, apparently. Three hot women and we don't know what we're doing.
Exactly. Well, frankly, it's usually not the women that's the problem. Actually, they're like, you're right.
I think everybody's confused about the first time. I think everyone's very nervous. I
think it was the man's fault.
I feel like what we're doing now is we're getting our engagement stats up. We're saying, or just issuing a super... Ooh. Solidly hard opinion in the first 30 seconds of the show. Yes. Let us know in the comments why you hate us.
People are latching on and subscribing by the millions, apparently.
Hate you.
Dear audience, you're back with the three of us. It's Ellie, it's Sydney, and it's Anne. And frankly, if you didn't listen to Lost Mountain Season 1, no worries, because this is a completely new adventure. Like I said, perhaps an even new universe, and so you don't even have to worry about spoilers, although we might 100% talk about what happened last season and spoil it for you, so you might want to listen to the first season if you're so inclined. It's just 20 episodes, 23, I think, right?
Are you asking us?
Okay, well,
I'm scared. We're being held against our will. Ellie's had us in her basement this entire time. She wouldn't let us out.
Yes, Ellie, it's 23 episodes.
It's however many it needs to be to let us out.
You know what? I wrote untitled description for you two co-hosts, but now I'm taking it back. I'm realizing that you two are just actors, I guess.
Wow.
The worst hurtful thing you could tell me is that I'm just an actor. Ow.
We have way too many jobs to be just actors. All three of us.
I want to talk about, though, like, what's happened since we ended. That was in June of 2021. I had a baby. And
you did?
Yes. I was pregnant. Whoa. You held my belly in your arms.
Whoa, congrats. Wow. That's huge news.
I felt a kick, so either that was a demon or you definitely had a baby.
It was cool to be Ellie's my first friend. I always tell people this. I'm like, I have a friend, Ellie, and she's my first friend who has had a baby in my life where I'm like involved. Yeah. Like I've been there since the conception. I was there at the conception.
Wait. Oh my God, Sydney is the father.
Sydney's the father of the child.
Yeah. Yeah, and but the it's midwife. So cool
because, like, she's going to be almost one. Yeah. I mean, few months since we're recording, but I was thinking about it today, and I was like, oh, my God, like, wow.
Little Junie.
Life.
Well, the truth is, you were spawning for the same, that's not what normal people call it, but
gestating.
You were creating the spawn of the devil for the same amount of time as we were really, like, you were having a creative baby with us.
Yeah.
While you were having a real one, and there were so many, like, parental, like, themes in the last.
I know, and also it's funny because 2 days after labor, I went home and edited the last episode.
So wild.
Lost Mountain, sorry. Wouldn't recommend it for anyone who's had labor.
Well, we recommend the podcast, but we don't recommend.
I would recommend the podcast, yeah. I would recommend the game. I would recommend everything about this, but except the part where I was
editing.
Beep. Anyway, but I was going to say, I had a baby. Anne, you had a dog.
Yeah, I have a dog. My baby came out with fur and teeth. No, I'm kidding. I got a dog. He's a collie. He's just over a year old as well.
He's beautiful. Beautiful dog. Yeah. It's probably one of the most beautiful dogs I've ever seen. It's like, looks like one of those dogs you would model.
Yeah.
Like a model Victoria's Secret dog.
A Gerber dog.
And then Sydney, you got a tattoo.
Some of us did better, greater things than others. No, I guess the biggest thing was I moved in with my partner, which was really cool. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Damn. It's, yeah, a lot of time is passed. High five. The people don't know, but we're high-fiving. Yeah, a lot of time has passed, and I feel like, for the most part, I've just been working. Well, we all have. We all stay really busy, and why that's why it's so hard to hang out and to record,
because
we're all, like, exhausted and doing other things. But, yeah, I've been just kind of working and setting up the apartment.
Yeah, and I... That's the thing, though, that I realized. I haven't seen you guys in person
for a really long time. Because
I haven't seen your new apartment, and I've only seen your dog, Sam, once.
Yeah.
And I have definitely not seen the tattoo that I briefly mentioned before.
Wait a second. We did see each other, you big fibber. We went and got ramen together.
That's right. That was pretty shitty ramen as well.
I don't think I had the tattoo yet, maybe. No, or did I?
You know what our listeners are? You know what they were missing?
Yeah, this moment right here. But Ellie and I were going on, and she was like, woe is me, I haven't seen it. I'm like, you fucking liar. We hung out. It was shitty ramen. So maybe we...
Yeah, they put corn in it.
The truth is...
They put corn
in the
ramen. First of
all, that's blasphemy. Second of all, I don't know. Tell us in the comments if it is blasphemy. Third of all,
What comments? Where are
the
comments?
I don't know. Well, how do you comment on a podcast? I don't know. What I do know is that we were very... I think all of us were really satisfied with how things ended after season one, and we didn't know if there would be any more Vasson ever, and whether or not we came back to do another season. I think we all weren't here long enough to really miss it.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the exciting things, aside from the fact that so many people also missed it.
Yeah, and also a very, very, very exciting news is that Free League, they freaking published an expansion of Vasson.
Yeah.
And that's what spurred me into thinking, holy shit, we need to explore this. Mm-hmm. Then I forgot that it's England, and English people are known to hate everyone who tries to do their accent. And so we're
ready.
We'll see what happens. So we're ready, and we're probably going to move it back to the north after this episode. But we'll see how that goes. But, you know, they've reached... So Free League, they've released Mythical Britain and Ireland. And a whole new adventure book with, like, new adventures. And we're going to play through these adventures. And people might be like, oh, no, then they're going to spoil it. And I want to, you know, I want to be a player in this and not, like... No, don't worry about that. I am going to make it different enough for it to be interesting for new players who might want to play the same adventures. Are you guys ready to start?
Yes.
I don't know if I'm ready, but okay. I feel like I've bullshit
I'm
enough.
I'm vibrating with readiness.
Okay. The first thing I've written here is Dark, Desolate Road.
Oh.
So I want you guys to imagine Norway. Zyke!
Wait
a second!
England.
Exactly. But we're actually in Norway. I know that the two of you are very familiar with the country, but for our listeners, I'll paint the picture. You know, mountains, fjords, stunning nature, tall, sexy people with weird accents. Similar to the United States of America, urbanization is also a big thing in Norway and Sweden, meaning that most people, they live in the cities, which means they're leaving big parts of the country desolate, unexplored. So a lot of things can happen out there and no one would know. Since there are so many mountains in Norway, the roads are very curvy. And speaking of curvy, I want you to imagine a short, curvy woman driving a car. And based on the car, you'd say it looks like it's from circa 1980s. Not 1880s, but if we're in the 80s of our generation. Next to this voluptuous woman sits a tall brunette. So both of them are sitting in silence in a car. And they are lost. They've been driving for a while. Perhaps someone forgot a map. Perhaps they're a bit hangry and haven't seen a rest stop in several kilometers. We're in Norway, so it's kilometers now. Perhaps the sun is going down and they feel a bit uncomfortable being in a far away country, not really knowing what they're doing. Because that's right, these are not Norwegian women. These are American women. And I found the most American names I could think of. Amber Smith and Jane Costner.
Ooh, any relation to Kevin or...
No.
Both Kevin Costner and Kevin Smith, apparently.
Sydney and Anne, I want you to check your emails.
Oh, shit.
You have a little character sheet.
Remember
there.
When I made a character, God. Ellie? Disrespect.
Yeah, no. Disregard that.
Wow, there's no need for me to make a character. Ellie has thoroughly filled out this sheet.
How about you take a little look at it? It's
All right, I'm looking.
It's based on some people I know.
Do I have a -5 in something?
Oh, I don't know. Do you? First of all, Sydney? I mean Jane.
These comments are really getting me. First of all, it says,
wow.
Archetype.
Can we
do whatever you want.
Archetype, woman with hobbies, talents, none. And I think we'll leave it there.
We do get out. If it makes you feel any better, my archetype just says amateur. Observation, which is my empathy. I'm a stone cold
bitch. I've got
a
-1 logic, which, you know, very much.
So it means that you have to take away a die.
Well, so the thing is, Ellie, and I just want to be very clear, we're supposed to be adding two numbers together, but I have zero physique, precision, or empathy, and no skills that are over zero. So that's less than one die.
I don't make the rules.
Right.
We're just gonna go ahead and do it. But yeah, this is what it is. This is what it is, cool. And hopefully you don't have to roll because
nothing
you
bad.
Will have.
Because we literally can't. Yeah.
You are.
We have zero. We have no dice.
How's motherhood going for you? You trying to communicate to us a certain
something. lambs to a slaughter. This feels very railroaded, I will say.
Don't worry. The recent.
Don't worry. This is for me. This is for Mama.
This is exactly. This is for. Sorry, this is fine. What I need. Let's focus on
who's,
the GM.
Who's driving?
Amber.
Oh. Amber. Well, that'll be a fantasy because I don't know how to drive. All right.
Well,
10-2.
I'm saying that you are in Norway in the 80s. Why the 80s, you might ask? Because you don't have internet or phones. You are completely alone. Whoopsie. Amber, you're driving the car. Perhaps it smells bad. I don't know. Ugh.
Was that you?
What? No. I rolled down the window. No. Bzz, it's a crank window.
I like your sound effects.
Eventually, you get to a sign that says, in Norwegian, rest stop this way. And you haven't seen a rest stop sign in a while, so naturally, you might want to take a turn.
That's me turning.
So you drive for a while through a forest until you reach an open field with a small hill. And on that hill, there's a house. Moon Lake Motel.
Creepy, but I'm exhausted, and if I hear you grind the clutch in this car one more time, I'm going to throw myself out the
drive?
Window.
Do you want to drive?
Nope, because I can't drive stick.
Okay, so shut up. Shut up.
Okay, all right.
You shut up. Girl, okay. I love you so much. This is the best trip ever.
I love you too. I know, I'm having a blast. I'm tired and hungry. And I'm just like, I miss my dad, Kevin, so much. So I just wish that I could call my dad, Kevin,
yeah,
on the phone, but there's no phone.
Sometimes
phones.
I think
anyway.
Back to when we met in kindergarten and like someone said, oh, your dad, Kevin, is here for you. And then we ran outside and both of our dads are named Kevin. And then we became best friends.
Aww. Best friends. And we always joke about our dad's name, Kevin. That's kind of what glues our friendship
so glad
together.
We could talk about it.
And we know
it.
This. You and I.
For once.
We could talk about it.
So, you park your car then, maybe, in what you would say is a parking lot.
Some might loosely term.
Moon Lake Motel. Well, it mostly looks like an overgrown swamp. But if you have a map, which you don't, but if you had a map, you would say that it looks like the lake next to it is shaped like a half moon.
Aw, pretty.
Oh my god. I was going to say we should take a selfie, but those don't exist. So let's just look at the moonlight.
Well, hold on. I have my Polaroid. Go oh my stand God. In there. Go stand
I
over there.
I put my hands in a peace sign and I smile.
And I hold, I don't do a selfie. I take a picture of you by the lake and maybe like a sign, you know, that says Moon Lake or something, the hotel sign. Yeah, I take a picture and I go, oh, that's going to look amazing. I shake it and then I stuff it in my pocket of my flannel button down. Amazing.
Very nice. So there's a small little path that leads up to the house with gravel, and doesn't seem like anyone's been here for a while. The door to the motel is open and several windows are broken, and it looks completely abandoned. How about you roll vigilance? Oh, sorry, you don't have any.
I make a comment and I go, do you think they're open?
I really hope so. Hello?
Do you think the kitchen's open? Hello? Oh, wait, how do you say hello in Norwegian again?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, yeah. Hello? All right, I'm asking her. I'm asking Amber. Oh, yeah. Hello?
Stop. It always sounds like you're making fun of it.
I'm trying. I'm not making fun of it. I'm okay. Trying.
Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
And I knock on the door.
It falls over.
It falls over.
Oh,
and,
but shit!
You don't hear anything, and you think everything looks super inviting and great. So you know,
maybe they're doing like a siesta or something. I know it's like Spanish, but like maybe they're doing like a little siesta.
here it's called fika, right?
Oh
no,
right. Fuck!
But it's okay. Funny.
I thought it was a fun callback. Season one, baby. So she sort of like looks out over the desolate area and the lake and then looks back at the inside of this dark abandoned house and she goes, well, good news is shelter, bad news is I don't think anyone's home, but like that just means that we won't be offending anybody by going inside. And she just sort of swings into the door. Not like into the door, but through the door.
Oh yeah.
I follow her in and I'm scouring to see if there's like a vending machine or like ooh, Coke cans or something.
I gotta say, right, of the two of us, Amber does not have final girl vibes as far as like horror tropes. Yeah,
I think they're both not gonna do well.
And frankly, they were built that way. That's okay.
Yeah,
I think it's fine. Yeah, I think you guys are killing it.
I trust you.
I mean, you wouldn't know because your vigilance is so low. So, like, you know, you're like,
stop.
This is great.
Saying it like it's an insult when you create.
Listen. This is a relatively big house. It has two floors, and you'd estimate that it was built sometime early 19th century. Back in its prime, it's probably quite charming. But, like I said, it seems like it's been abandoned for a while. And when you enter the foyer, there's an entire wall to the right of you that has completely collapsed. And the air inside is still, suffocatingly still. Whatever light enters from the small holes in the wall and roof casts these eerie patterns, and the streams of light hits dust particles that seem to be stuck in the air. The whole atmosphere is very, very different. And it feels like gravity has changed in there, as if you're walking on a planet where the laws of nature is different. Now, you know, that would be completely ridiculous, of course. You're still on planet Earth. But if you weren't, that's what it would be like. And if you walk in a bit more, there's a door to the left, and then there's a door to the right, next to where the wall has collapsed.
I'm gonna try and look in the door on the right just to see if I can see more of what's inside the collapsed room.
You don't see that much from this angle, so you would probably have to enter the room.
It's not weird if I go in here, right? Like,
is the door locked?
Jiggle, nope. Jiggle.
No.
Okay, you go in the right, I'll go in the left.
Okay. See you here in 30 seconds.
If I'm not back in 30 seconds, yell my name or something.
Okay.
Jane, you realize that the door to the right is locked.
Oh, I mean to the left?
Yeah. To the...
I turn around. Ugh, what? It's locked. Okay, I'm coming with you.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, and she just like shoves in through the door.
in that small little room, you notice that there's nothing in there except a bookshelf and an old fireplace. There's a couple of books in that bookshelf. I want you to roll a vigilance again. Oh, sorry, forgot that you can't.
Okay, so the bookcase, there's a bookcase with one book on it.
No, a couple of books.
Okay. Can I look at the, can we look, oh wait, we can't do vigilance, but can we see, like, or do any of the books stand out, yeah, or like?
Yeah, sure. If you drop up a book, and because you're kind of shitty characters, you drop the book, making a very loud sound.
There's dust everywhere.
Yeah. You get the sense that even though you're not very vigilant or very smart, perhaps, you feel like perhaps you don't want to disturb the silence in here.
I don't like this. This is, like, harsh on my mellow. Is that what they say?
Also, like, harshing my mellow. I don't know. A book isn't going to feed me, and I can't read Norwegian, so.
Well, you notice, though, that the title of this book, it's in readable English.
Whoa, wait a second. I can read this.
And it's...
What's the title?
The title is The Lost Mountain Saga.
I go, The Lost Mountain Saga, The Lost Mountain Saga. Why do I know this? Is this like a kid's book or something?
I heard that, like, sagas are like epic tales, you know? So yeah. What's it about?
Yeah.
And I sort of like lean over the shoulder to have a look at it.
You basically see the description of Lost Mountain Saga,
yeah,
a tale that follows Astrid and Henrik in Sweden as they are discovering weird, mysterious events.
Oh my god, I bet it's an enemies to lovers romance.
Oh my god, wait, I open it.
It is literally, the first words are literally about some weird black bird, and then there's a church, and then unfortunately the bird seems to die.
Oh my god, that was my favorite character.
Yeah.
They killed off my favorite character in the first page.
But then you notice a different book behind it. More like a journal, you would say, with scribbles.
So I will,
like,
go ahead and grab
it. Not
that.
A binded book, basically.
I'll grab the journal.
And on that front page, it says in English, The Newford House Case. And we find ourselves yet again on the choo-choo imagination train. Put on your goggles.
Oh.
We're going choo-choo-choo.
Okay, I put on my train goggles.
That everybody puts on.
Yep, I'm wearing my train goggles again.
Choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. Okay, it's not an actual train, but I want you to imagine a little creature running. He looks like a rat, but he's walking upright and is wearing a jacket and a hat. And for those of you who are familiar with Lost Mountain, it's funny how I said in the beginning, I'm like, don't worry, you don't have to listen to anything. And now I'm like, reference it 16 times.
Everybody's since we started. Favorite characters.
Yeah. For our old listeners of our show, you might know that this is a vettir. A small little creature, friendly but powerful little vasen that coexists with humans. Now, this vettir, he's carrying a rolled up parchment paper, and he's clearly in a hurry because he's running real fast on ceiling beams, and we see pipes and concrete all over the place behind him, steam everywhere, and as we pan out, we see that this is probably some sort of construction site. It all looks quite dangerous, you know, lack of safety equipment, all that jazz. And honestly, if you would guess, kind of looks like a subway station of some kind. An early one from the 19th century. And so with the paper in hand, our little guy, he moves swiftly through the tunnels until he finally reaches his destination. And there stands a young human man waiting for him, dressed in a suit and wearing big glasses. This man is named Nicholas Evans.
Here you are, Nick,
the little vettir says before he runs off again. Nicholas, he takes the parchment paper and is just about to turn around when he feels a strong hand on his shoulder.
Ah, sir, Mr. Ockley, I did not see you there.
Mr. Arkley, his supervisor, gives him an incredibly disapproving look. Are those the drawings, Mr. Evans?
Oh, indeed they are, sir. My sincerest apologies for bringing them so late. You see, I was preoccupied with...
Yeah. I don't need your full life story, boy.
And we leave the two men at that and continue to follow the vet deer. We follow him through tunnels and other small little nooks and corners of this newly built underground plaza until he's suddenly outside on a busy street, gracefully dodging carriages and horses as he continues to run. No one pays him any mind, for they cannot see him. You see, the people in this busy city have all forgotten about the creatures such as Vettir and other Vassin. They've left the old ways. In this city, only the new rules count. There isn't room for anything else, because this is the biggest city in the world. London. We pan out once more and we see the London Bridge as it crosses the River Thames. Our Vettir friend, he stops at the docks and looks over the river and all the human activity. It's not like he remembered what it was like back in the day before this city was settled, but in the last couple of years, industrialization has really ramped up, and so he pauses for a second. Melancholy and sadness brushes over his face for a moment, even worry.
The humans, they are too eager, too greedy. This will not end well,
he thinks to himself. Until he remembers that he has another errand and is back to running.
Quagow!
A big bird swoops in and swallows the little vector in one big motion. He's dead.
Anyway, I've talked enough. What's your thoughts on London, ladies?
I knew you were gonna do it, but I didn't. It just flipped the concept on its head, and I'm proud, but I'm also very sad about Chip.
Chip.
Chip's not gonna come back.
At least it wasn't, you know, someone we cared about more than that. But I wanted to flip it on its head. Like, I also want you guys to imagine basically this bird, which is a seagull. Sydney, I know you are an expert.
There's a seagull. Okay.
Why wouldn't the seagull work?
The seagull can work. I mean, London is by the water. It's just funny to think of a seagull eating. I guess he's pretty small. The Vettir's pretty small.
Oh.
But
what if he's
seagulls
not?
Aren't.
What if he's like, what if he's.
Oh, then the seagull is choking that guy down.
Yeah. Okay, the bird died. Sorry, it wasn't.
They're both.
They both. Yeah. They're both dead.
Chip bleeds out on the side of the River Thames.
The first casualty.
For some reason. That's better to me. I'm like, that makes more sense. The bird should die too. Yeah,
they all did. Oh no.
Well,
all right.
I feel super overwhelmed by everything that's happened so far.
Well, prepare to be more overwhelmed, Anne, as we find ourselves in a doctor's office. A woman
gunk, gunk.
Gunk, gunk, gunk. A woman is sitting on a stool. Gunk, 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 gunk. And a golden retriever is sitting next to her. It's not Terminator.
Did you think I wasn't gonna have a dog this time? Psych.
So, Anne, what does this woman look like? You can, I guess you can describe the golden retriever too.
Well, as far as golden retrievers go, he's golden and he's a retriever. And his name is Lancelot.
Oh,
I love that.
He's pretty good boy. All dogs are, really. But near Lancelot is Violet Morgan, who is about 5'6", got just a tumble of brown hair on her head, braided back into what should be a nice hairstyle, but it's clear she has just absolutely no clue what she's been doing with her hair. And then she is wearing a combination of tweeds and other sort of hardier materials for life outside in the streets of London, but also in the woods nearby. And the colouring of everything is like greens, a little bit of perhaps some violet in there as well, but very cozy. And she's got definitely sort of one of those Outlander sort of cowl sweaters that sort of crosses in front of her body and ties behind.
Very nice.
And what is she doing at the hospital? I thought I was healthy.
No.
Already dying.
You're dying. Sorry. Create a new character, Anne. So you are currently waiting for a doctor to give you an eye exam because lately your eyesight has gotten severely worse, which has led to these awful migraines. And these migraines aren't helped by the weird sensitivity to light that seemed to have bothered you for a while now. Well, almost for a decade. Ever since that thing happened, Violet, that thing when you killed a man.
I had to do it.
A little man enters with huge spectacles.
Good evening, Mrs.
Kill him! No, kill him!
Yeah!
I'm sorry, I'm not here.
The voices are telling me to kill you.
good evening, Mrs. Miss Morgan. Nice dog.
And you recognize this little man as a doctor.
Take 2 drops of this in your tea every day, and I think that should help you. But Frank,
you're sure nothing's wrong?
It seems like, I mean, it could be related to your age. How old are you? 40? 50?
35, sir. Do I look that awful?
You are like a ray of sunlight.
Your bedside manner leaves a little bit to be desired, I must say.
An attractive nurse enters.
She sort of squints a little and straightens up in her chair.
Sister Darlingbrew could perhaps relieve some of the pain in your head with a simple massage. But if the headaches gets worse, there's always the option of...
And he points to a sharp drill. Basically a lobotomy.
Jesus, that escalated so quickly.
They don't have any, like, herbs or anything. They're just like, and next? You know, your head still hurts? Uh-oh.
First step, yeah, get an eye exam. Step 2, yeah. Fuck it, lobotomy. Like,
I looked up, like, how to deal with headaches back in the 19th century. And very few
What's
pills.
It's crazy, too, because they literally thought it was like pressure on the brain. So they were like, if we drill a hole in your head, oh my God, like.
Yeah.
Checks out.
Checks out, yeah.
Nope. Sounds about right.
But yeah, so he leaves you with Miss Darlingbrew. Miss Morgan, let me take care of you.
Oh, Miss Darlingbrew, thank you. Yes, I have been suffering from a lot of headaches recently, and I'm afraid my sight's not been what it was.
When did these things begin?
Well, I'm embarrassed to say it's been almost 10 years since I first started noticing that something was a bit wrong, but you know, you're young, in your 20s, and you think you're invincible. And she sort of offers a wink to the nurse. And she says, I spend a lot of time outside working, and you know, there's a bit of a desire to say you could just walk things off, but when you stop being able to read the morning paper and stop being able to see when traffic is getting too close to the side of the road, living in London now, well, lucky I've got Lance here to look after me.
Of course, of course. And she starts massaging your temples, and it feels great. Mm-hmm. Her touch seems almost magical. And you and Darlingbrew, you hit it off that day. She takes a special interest in you for whatever reason, and she wants to ask you more about your hunting trips, because your class or archetype is hunter. Am I right?
It is.
And that's first
demon hunter.
Demon Buffy, the vampire hunter. No,
just okay, just the regular kind.
just moose. Just moose hunter.
Are there?
That's the only.
Meese
that's the only.
Are they in London's perfect.
That's the only...
I don't know.
That's the only...
In the London that never was, then yeah, certainly.
That's the only hunters I know are the ones who shoot moose in Sweden. And they're like, it's super controversial. It was like a whole... Anyway, we'll talk about that at some other time. But
I went to Sweden once. And I shot a moose, and ever since then I've said I'm an hunter.
I'm an hunter. So the two of you hit it off, and she invites you one day for some tea at a house that you come to know as the Rose House, and it's a pretty old, gorgeous building. It has all of these peculiar people hanging out there. For example, there's this ageless butler named Hawkins, and he seems to be just around the corner whenever you need him and disappears as soon as you don't need him anymore. And the others in the house, they jokingly say that he's as old as the house itself.
And I just watch them laugh very nervously.
And after a while, you notice that more and more people seem to come here to seek advice. And you get the sense that these are your people. They seem to have seen stuff. Even though you don't want to really verbalize it yet, you get a sense that that you want in. Whatever it is that they're doing, there seems to be some sort of organization behind this. And you want in. And we move on to Sydney, known as Jane Costner.
No!
Time traveler.
She's dead to me.
Oh, well, she will be soon.
She was stupid.
I love it.
She was not the brightest bulb in the shed. I hope her and Amber are okay in the future.
We'll see. What's up with your character? I'm excited.
Okay. Do I want to go into my day? Should I just go through? Okay. So, you see a 165 centimeter tall, 63 kilogram, which is about actually 5'5", and our characters are the same height, and like 140 pounds. And I wouldn't even say stocky. She is like an average woman's weight. She has like fuller breasts, a full butt. To me, she is beautiful. She is a perfect woman. my bodacious woman. No, she's just kind of average. She's got strawberry blonde hair, and she is getting ready. You see in her kind of dingy flat, studio flat. Not bad, but nothing spectacular. And she's braiding her long strawberry hair into like this tight braid and then wrapping it in this tight bun really tight against her head and like pinning it down. And she picks up a helmet and places it down and kind of snugs it down and does the strap. And as we zoom out, you know, camera zoom out on this dirty mirror, you see her in a full constable outfit. She is a police officer, a constable. And she's kind of buttoning down this black jacket, and she's got a baton and a whistle. She's got green eyes and freckles and kind of rosy cheeks. And she's leaving the flat and walking down the, you know, kind of dirty streets of London and getting into character as she is. And she's walking down and she sees some vagrant, not like a pickpocketer, but somebody I think who hangs around the same storefront every day. Mm. She kind of goes over with the baton and knocks on the metal gates that are in front of some of the windows. And she goes, "Oi, Ricky."
"Yes?"
What did I tell you about standing outside?
How old did you say that Ricky was?
Ricky? I didn't say. Ellie, it's up to you.
She's ageless.
Well, I'm just standing here.
I thought I told you. You can't stand in front of the front of the... They don't like it when you stand in front of the windows, so back off.
Who made you my mom?
Ricky, I know your mom, and I'll go find her right now if you don't back away from these windows and tell you you're not at school.
Listen, how about you come over here and I'll show you something real big.
You know, I'll deal with you later, because I don't even got time for you, because I got bigger fish to fry. How about that?
Oh, I can't wait, love.
And she just kind of like puts her baton back in its little holster and looks back at him. And he's like 12.
Yeah, and I realized, I was like, hi, I'm Ricky. And then like, now I'm...
No, but he's like a shithole, yeah. You know, street kid, yeah. Who, he's never in school. Yeah. They have this conversation every morning.
I love it.
And she goes down and she picks up, you know, like a croissant, you know, something quick, like a loaf of something bread. Mm. She's kind of like stuffing it in her mouth as she gets to her post for the day, which is...
Oh.
No, not even. It's always the same post. Shit, it's the worst fucking post.
Is she the bunny from Zootopia?
Yes. Yes. She the analogy, the modern analogy is she's basically the fucking bunny from Utopia. And her whole job is to go around the city and like take down like post no bills type of thing. Like she takes down papers that people put up, or like if people don't have the proper whatever, like not permits, because I don't even know if that's a thing on the street, but like she goes to vendors and makes sure that they're on the up and up and whatever.
Okay, and so what you see then is a woman, a slender woman, middle class woman, young looking, brown hair, dark eyes, pale, and she's currently putting up a wanted, or rather not wanted, but like missing person poster on something that should not have a missing person poster. And so you can see her having...
And I see her from across the street, and I'm like, oi, for the love of God. Oi! And she's just yelling across the street, you can't post there, it's post no bills.
Post no bills, I'm sorry.
She kind of jogs over, but she's slow. And she's like, you can't post any bills there. You gotta post them on the proper bulletins in the town.
Well, I, and she looks at you and realizes that you're a cop, but she's also like, a female cop. How interesting. Well, I have been trying to go to a police officer before, and it's not like you're doing your job. And therefore, I'm taking matters into my own hands. And you see on the missing poster, it's a picture of a young man who looks similar to the woman that's putting it up. My brother, he's missing, and, well, no one's really helping me, and this is my last resort.
All right. So you already went to the police about it,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, and they kept laughing at me.
What did they laugh at you? Tell a funny joke or something?
Well, I do know a couple of funny jokes, but not that time. I was talking about my missing brother.
Well, what's it then? What's it all about? What's going on?
Well, they don't believe me, but I really can't. Will you listen to me? If you escorted me there, they would listen to me, because I'm sure you have the respect of your fellow colleagues, right?
She looks over her shoulder and Ricky is like pissing on where she left like a bag of hers or something. She's like, oh, fuck, oh, bloody hell. Yeah. What'd you say?
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, come back here. Hey,
Ricky,
Steph?
You get your little butt back in. You get your little butt back on Marker Street. I'll deal with you later, I said.
Is that a friend of yours, or...?
No, he's not my friend.
Okay.
Does it look like my friend? He's pissing on my boots.
Well, I don't know what you folks do. It sounds like... I heard about men peeing into their... uncircumcised penises and then creative.
That's different. That's different.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about this.
Well,
I don't want to hear about this. Why are you listening to that? What kind of proper lady are you?
Anyway, my brother is missing.
You seem so concerned about your missing brother.
I am concerned, and I could keep hammering this missing poster.
All right. Okay. If you stop hammering the poster, I'll take you to station. All right. I'll take you over. I'll make sure that they get it down in a report.
Great. And so we fast forward a little bit. You guys are back in at the station. However, as she's explaining to it, your boss or officer, or like higher up, I never know ranks, but your captain or maid.
My chief, maybe. Or my captain, my
or your
chief.
Sheriff. No, that's anyway.
No.
not that one. He pulls you aside and is like, what was your name again? Sorry.
Oh, you didn't know. When she signs in, she, you know, shows, you know, they'll have a badge, but she goes, Lydia Bay Ferngood II.
Bay Fern
Lydia by Ferngood II is what I said. What, you can't understand me? Lydia by Ferngood II.
Hey, chick. Your chief says was it Bafin?
What?
This episode is sponsored by England. Like,
accents. Somebody's going to be like, I'm so fucking offended by her, what she thinks is cockney. Lydia B. Ferngood II.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Ferngood. Come over here.
Oi. Yes, Cap. Yes, Chief. What can I do you for?
Well, you see, I don't really have time to deal with this woman, so I'm gonna have you take her back to that, you know, that weird society, like that weird place, Rose House. And you know that Rose House is where you deal with like cases that seem to be a little strange and weird. How about you take her over to the Rose House and, you know, you can deal. And he doesn't know what that means. He just knows that that's where hysterical women go. And Yikes. He doesn't want to deal with it because he wants to eat donuts.
The chief is like totally brushing me off and like putting this woman on my plate, but this is huge for me because usually the chief won't even talk to me. Like, I come in, they don't even call me constable, like they call me watch lady or something. Like, they're all such fucking dicks to me.
Oh yeah, I love it so much.
So I'm just like, oh, chief, that I can do, no problem. I'll take a ride over there and I'll have that paperwork back to you in no time. No. And I'll write a formal report.
That's great. And if you don't mind, could you also take out some of the trash around here before you leave? And then also deal with that little 12-year-old boy who's been masturbating again on top of, maybe if he's 12, I don't make that joke.
Pissing's one thing. Masturbating's where you draw the line.
Perhaps if you could take care of that 12-year-old boy who's been pissing on my carriage.
Right. Right. Well, I told you before that the trash is not really a constable requirement.
Oh, well, it's more why don't you be a doll and just go ahead and do it? That would be great.
Alright, chief, and just so you know, your launders and picked up, and I had them delivered to your wife.
Oh, perfect! Like, how's my wife? I haven't seen her in a while.
I don't know. I'm sure probably fine.
Well, she's been very emotional lately, and I haven't really had time to really talk.
I'll take the rubbish out.
Oh, good. Maybe talk to her a little bit, you know.
Oh.
If you have time.
Your what?
Yeah, you know.
All right. Yeah, maybe I could just pop over on my way to the Rose House.
Yeah, use your female intuition, you know, see what happens.
Okay.
Great. That would be great.
I'm going to grab that rubbish now.
Hey, fellas, I'm coming back now to play football. And he walks over to the other constables who are...
Lydia looks to the side.
They're always playing football, and they never invite me.
And Amelia is her name, the woman you've been escorting. Right. Amelia Beddoes. And she looks at you and says,
well, I think that you could be of great help and service to me, so thank you for taking the time.
All right, let's go. On the whole walk over, Lydia, under her breath, just keeps going,
I am an officer of the justice and of the peace court. I'm an officer of the justice and the peace court, which is her mantra that she says every day in the mirror.
And Amelia's like, what was that?
Hmm? Oh, yeah, saying it's going to be a few more blocks and we'll get you right inside.
Perfect. Thank you. And you get to the Rose House, where Violet is waiting. The two of you haven't really met before. But now, Violet, you're noticing this police officer, this constable, and this young woman. They come in to the main area where you tend to hang out. You're part of the society, right? You said
like, yeah, she's on the fringes of the society. Like always she delivers letters for them. She like has never gotten the big job, but it's the only place where it's kind of like they pity her. They let her work amongst them. And I like to say, it keeps me fed in a bed and keeps me from losing my head.
And as you get into the main area, Violet, you're probably waiting for someone to come and talk to you and take your stuff and be pleasant to you. Hawkins, the butler, is offering you refreshments. And what you know about Hawkins is that he is played by someone who looks like Michael Fassbender in Prometheus when he is, you know, alien Prometheus when he's a robot, and very, like, he smiles in a weird way. But he's offering you refreshments. And then the two other women, they join. And Amelia and Lydia, the second town's...
Lydia B. Ferngood the second.
And now you're the three of you are here.
Hello there. Oh, sorry.
Amelia looks around and nods to you.
Hello there, Violet Morgan. How can we help you?
Oi, I'm Lydia B. Ferngood II, constable, officer of the court and the peace court. And this is Amelia. She is a missing person, and my chief sent me over here to just make a formal report, make sure she's well taken care of.
Hello, Miss Beddoes. Nice to meet you.
Welcome to Rose House. Hopefully, we can get you sorted. Can I get you a beverage?
No.
Oi, yeah, I'd love a... Oh.
Well, no, that's what? My job.
You don't... What? Can I get one?
Sorry, Hawkins.
Hawkins is like, I'll take your order. And then he gives Violet a look of like, you go ahead and see what you can do. And then he closes the door to the three of you. So you're in a separate private sitting area right now. I came here to file a report, but it doesn't seem like anyone's interested in hearing my story. I've been trying to tell people. So thank you for taking the time. The two of you, are you also a constable? Looks at Violet.
Gosh, no. Gosh. Golly gee! no. I am just local color, as they say, down from Cornwall, Western England. Land of the fairies, they used to say, but here I am in London, ready to make a name for myself. I find what's lost, they say. So that's, I mean, a match made in heaven.
Oh, amazing. Oh, she's great. She's great, thank you. And Amelia looks towards Lydia. She can find my missing brother.
Lydia's, like, picking her teeth. Yeah.
Well, that's why we came here. You know, they're the best. And Lydia kind of looks at Violet, trying to determine, because Lydia does have the sight, but she's trying to figure out if, like, Violet does, because she wasn't sure if, like, does Violet work here? Because she hasn't seen her before.
Yeah.
But Lydia has come here, like, time and time again. So she's, like, trying to scope her out. She's like, yeah, you know, they really know what they're doing here, so I think you're in pretty capable hands.
Sorry. So as you're sort of saying that, the nice little basket full of, like, herbs and flowers and, you know, every kind of, like, leather and all these different goods, she, like, sets it down, and from out of it she pulls out sort of a leather-tooled kit that she has on a belt and straps it on, and you see, like, a hunting knife on one side. There's, like, a back holster that straps across her chest. Like, she is changing, like, code switching here to a whole different thing. And she... Fuck. Sorry, guys. My brain is not good right now.
I'm missing it, but
yeah,
it's fine. So we'll just get to the
So she, you can see she has, like, a sort of a holster on her back, not currently filled with anything, and she says, "Well, not to be insensitive, but when is the last place you saw him?"
Oh well, okay. So here's my story.
Great.
And she sits down. My brother Martin, he abandoned my family a couple of years ago to live the life of a poet.
And long have we worried that he would come to a bad end, and now I fear, though I pray I am mistaken, that the worst has come to pass, because we haven't heard from him in a long time, 2 months actually, and we used to get letters from him where he would request money, but and that would confirm that he was still alive, but since we haven't heard from him in such a long time now, I went in my parents' place to the address where the last letter was sent from, and it's called Newfoot House at Gladstone Place in the borough of Hampstead. Do you... It's unclear what the English language does to a person of Scandinavian heritage. Not that I am of Scandinavian heritage. I am born and raised in London.
I think it's Hampstead. Hampstead. I think you can say Hampstead.
Doesn't matter now. So what I noticed when I visited that place is that it's an artistic colony. I don't know a better word for it, but it's filled with people of the most peculiar and disturbing sort.
Well, I think you'll find we're very used to the disturbing and confusing.
They were all either heavily drunk or worse. They were under the influence of something. And I did learn that Martin had been there, but he had not been seen for some time. And it seemed like no one really wanted to talk to me there either. And I filed a police report. That no one really seems to take me seriously.
Oi. Yeah, that I can, that I can relate to. And she kind of, like, smiles, and then she's like, yeah.
And the two of you, you're like, so why would this be a matter of the Rose House? Mm-hmm. And...
Yeah, when's it get weird? Yeah.
And that's when Amelia quiets down a bit. And as I was in that house... first of all, it felt very weird and eerie in there, but a few minutes after my arrival, a tall lady, she came down the stairs. And everyone in that house, they changed. It's as if they were afraid of her. They called her Kitty. And she was some sort of leader. And I must confess, she frightened me. She stood tall and straight, but there was something in her eyes that frightened me. I cannot say precisely what it was, but this Kitty, she received me with courtesy and offered me tea as she heard my questions. But I had the sense that she learned more from me. She was observing me, not the other way around, and she never asked me anything.
How did she react when you brought up your brother?
She repeated a tale told by the others that Martin had recited there briefly before moving on to an unknown destination. And she said that her community was open to all, and it was common for people to appear and then, you know, leave without notice. And it made sense at the time, but they rang false to me. I think she was lying.
Well... I think that's a fairly good hunch there, Amelia. Do I know of any Vassin that, you know, feed off of artists?
You know of a bunch of Vassin that would feed off of human energy. But this doesn't necessarily immediately strike you as... I mean, she might not be a Vassin, she might just be...
A terrible person.
A terrible person, or someone who's a murderer, or someone who uses Vassin to get her. Like, you know, this could definitely be. You would need to know a lot more, investigate a lot further.
Lydia pipes up and she says, "A question. Do you come from money? Not that I'm assuming nothing, but does your brother have something to offer somebody who might want to?" Take advantage or beguile or trick. I mean, there's a lot of communities that take you in and then just take you and suck you dry.
See, that's the thing. He was dirt poor. He didn't take any money from us. And what?
Okay. Anne and I are looking at each other because one, my accent went crazy.
No, I was reacting to suck you dry, and I'm Anne enough to admit it.
So, suck you dry, and Lydia shudders thinking about that she's haunted by the 12-year-old Ricky who's constantly pissing on things and I guess masturbating. And she's like, I can't even get through the day without having horrible images in my head.
Oh my god.
But no, yeah. So he was piss poor, you say, and didn't have nothing.
He was piss poor. It's a word I haven't used.
Sorry.
You say piss a lot.
I think the word I used was dirt poor, but piss poor, I guess.
I got piss on the brain. It's been a weird morning.
Piss okay. Oh, I guess. See, the thing is with Martin is, no, he did not have any money. And I know for a fact that my brother would never leave money or a place to stay. So it does not make any sense that he would just abandon this house unannounced. He would probably come home to us first in order to get more money, because he's a poet.
Well, there are certainly things we could do, starting with an investigation of this Miss Kitty. We could get some... She realizes she's speaking completely out of turn and just, like, looks at Lydia and goes, records? Like...
Well, I mean, absolutely. I think an investigation will have to happen, especially if you have reported him missing. Obviously, I'll put that in the record. And then last... my accent is really difficult for me tonight. Obviously, we'll put that into the records, and then we'll have to go see the last place that you said you saw him and knew where he was at. So if
we should definitely go there. Should we go right now?
You're probably fine if you just sit tight. I don't think that you'd have to go again.
Okay, fine. I'll
it might be better if it didn't go, you know, just in case.
Well, I do know how to fight, and she picks up her umbrella.
Oh, you got a parasol.
I got a parasol.
Oh. That's very nice.
Is there anything unparasol-like about that parasol?
No, like, it can parry...
It's an umbrella.
It can parry the sun.
So it's an umbrella.
I thought you were going to pull out a sword cane or something.
Oh, well, I have been beating a lot of 12-year-old boys with it.
All right, so you should stay here and, Constable.
Yeah, I think Lydia and Violet are just looking at each other like, okay, this woman, I look at all Violet's knives and I'm like, yeah, this woman does
it
not
says
know
in the,
what she's
it
doing.
Says in the adventure that Amelia can be used as an NPC for this. She has an umbrella. And I'm like, sure.
That is
she sure
so
does.
Funny.
Yeah, she sort of squares up with Lydia and she says, well, would you be able to call Amstead and... FBI, whatever it is, the coppers of Amstead.
Yeah, we don't have that.
Do you have coppers?
We can contact the police force in Amstead.
Through Scotland Yard.
Putting a formal report, but...
Thank you.
If and then I pull Violet aside. If we're talking just you and me... I don't think Amstead is really gonna do much, just like the London forces. I'll be honest, they only send people over here when they don't want to deal with them. So it might be more of the Rose House's problem.
All right. Well, you know what I'm saying. Maybe, you know what, Lydia, why don't you leave us here to discuss the best way to move forward? And we will send you a telegram, she says decisively.
Please, call me Lydia B. Fangood II.
Wait, I'm sorry, you're Lydia, she's Amelia.
Mrs. Beddoes. Oh, yeah. Miss Beddoes, yeah. You probably refer to her as.
Sorry.
If we're being...
Yeah, you met Amelia,
I did.
Right? I was like,
yeah.
You are...
Lydia,
I was like, you're really dismissing
Lydia.
Get
the fuck out, I am going with this lady and her parasol. Get fucked. No. No.
Once again, Lydia is left in the dust. I cry and walk out.
Goodbye, Sid. Now, Ellie, it's just you, me, and that parasol, once again, baby.
Snuffed out by society for having breast disease. How dare you?
The first time she gets a case.
I'm so sorry, Sid. I confused the names in my mind there.
That's great. Amelia takes that as... Well, if I haven't heard anything from you in a couple of days, I will be going there again and I will demand some answers. So please keep me in the loop, as they would say in London.
She reaches out and touches this woman's arm kind of very aggressively. And she says, now you listen, Air. You are going to get yourself killed acting like that. And you came to Rose House, and damn if Rose House isn't going to do its job for you. So, calm yourself. We are going to take care of this. And everything is fine, she says, releasing her.
Hello? Is anyone there?
Amber and Jane suddenly find themselves back in the scary cabin. Both of them had been absorbed by this old journal they found, not realizing how late it had gotten.
Hello? Is anybody there? Woohoo!
It comes from the outside.
Shit, who is that?
I don't know, maybe like the owner or something?
Oh my god. Alright, this and place gives me the creeps. And she kind of swings into the hallway and goes, yoo-hoo, hello!
Yeah, and you see out there is a blonde short woman standing there. She looks concerned, a bit frightened.
Would you please come out and talk to me? I don't really want to go inside, if that's okay.
Sorry, I'm sorry. We were like looking for a rest stop and we couldn't find one. I was just so hungry. I'm sorry that we came into your house. It's very beautiful. And yeah. I come out.
And as the two of you leave the house, you don't notice that the locked door from before is suddenly open. And in that doorway stands the silhouette of a person watching you. And you know that someone or something has been watching you ever since you stepped into the house.
And with that, I would like to welcome you back, dear listeners, to the Horrors of the North and the second season of Lost Mountain and other sagas.
Yeah, baby!
Yay!
Where are the other sagas?
I don't know. Oh my god.